Welcome to the Awakening Podcast Network. Get ready for an inspiring audio from this cutting-edge voice. You can find more podcasts at awakeningpodcasts.com.
You want to go deeper? Get equipped to overcome and walk in God's purpose for your life at Awakening House of Prayer's online campus. You'll experience an online family, preaching, teaching, and prophetic impartation for victorious living. We have over 1,000 members online, hungry for what God is saying and doing in the earth. Visit ahop.online today and join our family. AHOP TV empowers believers with spirit-inspired messages and strategic equipping that accelerates your spiritual growth. You can subscribe to stream weekly content from Awakening House of Prayer, conferences, and other exclusive content to stir your hunger and encourage your heart. Visit us online at ahop.tv.
The scripture teaches us that darkness covers the earth and gross darkness the peoples. And we are living in a day and hour where we are seeing that on many levels. And one of the areas that we notice is that is in great darkness is human trafficking. Trafficking children even for sex or for labor or for body parts. This is running rampant throughout the earth and has been for many years. And there's been an emphasis on it and will continue to be an emphasis on it until we totally eradicate the whole assignment of the enemy. And we can annihilate, wipe out modern day slavery in our lifetime, because God is that great. And with me today, I have a very special guest, Andrea Asen, who's the director for Extreme Love Ministries. You're the founder of Extreme Love, and you are making great strides today with anti-trafficking and the rescuing of children and young girls, young boys. It is amazing. You've seen a lot of heartbreaking situations, but you've also seen great victories in the Lord. So, Andrea, what are some of the issues surrounding modern-day slavery today?
Wow. Well, like you said, it is so big. And I think any one of us, when we hear that term, we almost just want to hide under the covers. It's 30 million slaves that they're saying worldwide today, currently a $12 billion industry. And so when we hear those statistics, it feels like overwhelming. It feels too big. Like, what can we do? Mm-hmm. And the reality is, it is so complex. And there are so many layers of people that even benefit from it, that it's rooted very deep within every nation. And I think every people group, every socioeconomic status, we're hearing it more in the news and on the media, even right here in the U.S. or in Canada, wherever you're from, in Western nations, it's an issue. And so the enemy likes to bring us to this point of looking at the darkness, looking at the bigness, making us feel overwhelmed and intimidated in that place. But the reality is, I love what you said, and that we can and we will see an ending to human trafficking in our lifetime. And it happens, and we all do our part.
Yeah. A lot of times it's just taking it one day at a time, one life at a time.
That's just it.
Because otherwise you do, like you say, you get overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Like, where do you start? You know, you just start with that one in front of you. But when God breathes on it, you know, like, you've taken some of the mandates that you've worked on and God breathed on it. Like, I remember just a couple years back, you brought a team over from Canada who had a real heart to address the whole issue of abortion. Because in Cambodia, there was abortion clinics on every street corner practically, because an organization from the U.S. had gone over and promoted abortion as a way to control the population growth and that. And because of the poverty, they said, you can't, you know, really look after your children, so abort them. Yeah. So there was all these abortion clinics that the people were thinking were okay. A huge, massive situation in that nation. But with that one team that you facilitated that could just speak to the medical practitioners, and many of them didn't even think of it as killing a child. They never pondered it. Pastors' wives were having numerous abortions because they thought that that's what they were supposed to do. You know, there were some individuals, I think you said, that had over 20 abortions, you know, because they didn't know anything else. So by giving teaching and instruction, it started changing the whole nation.
Oh my gosh, it was amazing, Patricia. We just came in with our little loaves and our little fish.
Yeah.
And God just breathed on it.
He
multiplied
on it. It was amazing.
And we had seminar after seminar. In fact, still to this day, from that seed of that team coming over and sharing, we have invitations every year to come and speak in churches and to come and speak in medical communities that just say they had never heard.
Yeah,
I mean, they were just going about having abortions or conducting abortions because they just didn't know.
Right.
They had never heard that it was a baby. They had never heard God's heart, even within the church. They had never heard God's heart for life.
Yeah. And of course, in Cambodia, especially because they have this Khmer Rouge regime where so many were being massacred and killed that life was never valued. So you're fighting this big massive principality over the area that is still at work, killing in a different way now, but the killing fields there were very real.
Right.
And you look at the whole thing and you think, well, what am I going to do? I mean, there's this massive principality, this mindset in the nation, there's all this going on, but God is bigger than it all. And you proved it.
He's so much bigger.
He is bigger than any principality. He's bigger than the devil himself. He's bigger than any resistance.
Yeah.
And it's so beautiful that that little loaf and fish that you offered has started to transform the nation. And even in the area of a lot of times with trafficking, the traffickers will take children who are challenged physically or emotionally and use them for horrible purposes. And of course, through our ministry, we've been able to see them rescued. And I won't mention their names or anything right now, but darling little children who are being used their whole life to serve terrible purposes, and they were traumatized to the core, yet through love, even without professional help, you were able to bring them into this flourishing place. And were even invited by the Prime Minister of Cambodia to represent this value for life on challenged children.
It's amazing.
And it went to the whole nation.
Yeah, what God can do.
It just takes that little thing and breathes on it.
Yeah, and these kids that never thought that they would be, I mean, listening to the Prime Minister address them on their behalf, kids with disabilities, unfortunately, in Cambodia and other nations are oftentimes looked at as animals. And like you said, there is no value. And really, I mean, the core of why human trafficking exists, they're very much linked, is that lack of value for life.
Right. Absolutely. Now, Southeast Asia, which is where you do a lot of your work in the different nations around there, is a definitely almost like an epicenter. Like it's almost like Southeast Asia was almost like the portal that opened up for this. And they started exporting to Western nations. And then, you know, the capitalists in Western nations started realizing that they could make money on it. And it started spreading like wildfire. But actually, Southeast Asia was very much one of the major portals for opening up this. Why?
Well, I mean, Southeast Asia has about 11 million slaves just within that area. And so you think about going after the jugular. It's a main place because of the vulnerability. Oftentimes war-torn nations that have, as you said, a lot of poverty, issues of lack of value for life, breakdown of the family. So nations like Cambodia, who's been through a war about 40 years ago, and a genocide, in fact, made the nation a primary source and destination country for things like trafficking. Because the government is broken in that place, then there's sex tourists that end up wanting to come to those nations because it's easy. It's easy to find babies. It's easy to find children for pedophiles to go and to find these innocent kids. And really, it's a nation where anything goes at this point.
And you're working to stop that. And when we come back from this break, we are going to share some amazing testimonies of how this is being stopped, of what is being done, because we can talk about the problem, but there's a solution. There are things that we can do right now to fix the problem. We are living in a very exciting time. Because not only can we identify the problems easier today than ever before, but we have access to solutions. And so, Andrea, you're busy every day out there on the field doing something about the problem.
Yeah.
And so share with us different ways that God has been leading you in stopping this issue of human trafficking.
Well, it's so complex, Patricia, and so you really have to address it in areas of prevention, rescue, and aftercare. And so these kids that we would go out and outreach and that God would highlight that specifically needed help, that needed assistance, that were perhaps being exploited or were being trafficked, women that were being held in bondage, you have to be able to help them right where they're at. So we work with an investigative team. We work with police, work with government to be able to help them where they're at, but also preventatively. I mean, you think how much better if we could stop it before
Come
it even
on.
Started, that these kids would never have to go through that, that women, that men would never have to be exploited. And I think it starts with awareness. We plant ourselves right in areas of poverty, slum, and street communities where it's not uncommon that somebody solicited on a daily basis, that babies are being sold, that are being bought right from these very areas. And so that's the place that we want to be as a team. Mm-hmm. That's the place that we know that God can shine the brightest. And so we go into these communities and we build relationship. We've got houses that we rent. We call them lighthouses, actually.
I love that. Tell us how that lighthouse vision began, because it was just so brilliant. You were going through a village one day and God gave you this download to start lighthouses in every slum area. And so what is a lighthouse?
Well, a lighthouse is just what its name says. It's a house of light. It's a house of God's presence. And what it is, it's incarnational ministry. It's a slum house that we plant ourselves right in the community. So we're their neighbors.
It's no different than the house they live in.
Exactly. And God actually told us as part of a strategy to reaching out, don't change it.
Right.
Don't fix it up to be different than all the other houses. Don't knock it down and build some big concrete structure. Have a one-room shack. If they live in a one-room shack, have a one-room shack.
So beautiful.
If their house is made out of wood, have a house that's made out of wood. And so we rent these houses, and really it's a ministry vehicle for us. It's a place that helps us in building relationship. We have children's outreaches. We have English studies and Bible studies and hand out food. We've had people come to the Lord just through food distributions.
When you started, you would have, you know, the children come, you know, because they were being exploited. They would come and learn the Bible and stories, and they're so adorable.
Yeah.
But God was moving on them so supernaturally too, and they were getting these downloads and having heavenly visions and visitations, and then they would go and tell their families, and whole families came to know the Lord.
It was just amazing. And out of that place, out of that little house now, we have a whole glory community. We have whole communities that our team was even afraid to go into because of the darkness, that now there's been such transformation. There's so much joy and freedom. And as you said, these kids that received the word at a really young age and were able to learn how to hear the voice of God now are sharing with their parents, they're sharing with their teachers, and we have whole neighborhoods that are being saved.
And in the area of trafficking, you are teaching the children how to be aware. So they almost became like your whistleblowers,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Because they would tell you who the traffickers were and what they were up to.
Yeah, we would find out so much information from the kids. And so often, they were our voices. They were the ones we would come in, we would teach them about good touch, bad touch, and just how to even be a voice in their community, what to look for. And they would share with us information. I can't tell you how many times that we would be sitting with kids or sitting with family members and just out of their mouth, they would begin sharing stories. And it was through that information that we were able to actually work on a number of cases that have
right.
come to head and have resulted in a rescue.
Yeah. And resulted in putting the bad guys behind bars, sort
yeah.
of thing, or sending
yeah.
them back to their nation. So it's so awesome. Now, also, as well as the lighthouses, which has been amazing, you also actually go into the brothels and build relationship with the girls in there. And tell us about how you get them out and what happens to them when they come out.
Oh, gosh, it's one of my favorite places
yeah.
to be. But we go into bars, we go into brothel communities, and just befriend the ladies. So often these women have never heard about Jesus, but they've never seen love. They've felt oftentimes from childhood overlooked, abandoned. Oftentimes they've been exploited or they've been trafficked themselves to get to those mm-hmm. places. And so just sitting and talking with them, sharing hearts, sharing stories, building relationship, that's what Jesus did. And they come into a place of freedom. They end up sharing their situations. And then oftentimes we're able to actually help them out of those places. And I just love what God is doing in empowering women in this hour and taking those even out of those dark places to be ones that will shine his light in this hour. And he's equipping them. He's training them. He's giving us strategies, not just us, but the body, and how to actually teach them and mentor them in this time.
I love your strategy with Everlasting Love. You set up a business and of making accessories and handbags, and they're beautiful, by the way. Just go online and buy some because they're so beautiful, and a lot of them are made with Cambodian silk, and they're just high-end beautiful, just such a spirit of excellence in them. But you would sometimes get the girls out of the brothels, and then they would go and work at Everlasting Love, so they got righteous work now, and then they get discipled at the same time. And if they have children, you have children's care for them as well.
Yeah, it's so key that we meet those physical needs as well as the spiritual needs. And so empowering them by learning a trade. Some of these women, I mean, they were exploited from childhood because they never had an opportunity to go to school. They can't read, can't write. And so their options of employment were either collecting garbage, working on the streets, begging, or prostitution. And many of them, as I said, ended up trafficked. And so when they come out of those places, there's no hope, there's no freedom. But giving them a skill, even as simple as learning to sew, it's amazing how that just empowers them. And our girls, proud of them. Yeah, they get valued. And they actually look at what they're doing as so much bigger than just learning to sew. They know that it's a ministry to women around the world. Mm-hmm. They understand that the products that they're making are actually being sent worldwide, and they pray over their products. They actually learn about intercession. They learn about the power of even imparting what they've received and giving that back, that when women around the world buy their products, they're actually receiving some of what they've grown in the program.
I remember one of the outreaches you did, and we won't mention the nation or whatever, but you went into a nation that was bound, you know, there was victims, let's put it that way, victims of terrorist rapes and abuse and all of that. It was a very tragic situation. Mm-hmm. But your girls in Cambodia made these beautiful gifts to send to the women in that camp who had been victims of this. And they wrote these most beautiful letters to them from their own life and ministered life to them.
Yeah.
It was so beautiful.
Oh, that was so amazing. And actually, those bags, that impartation that they've released, those are still within those refugee camps.
Yeah.
Those are still in that nation, speaking and breathing the word of God. But I just love taking our women into that place in prayer. And they still actually pray for those women. They still pray for what's happening in that
nation.
Because
they have a heart for them.
They have a heart for them.
They've been treated like that too, so they have a heart. And it's so beautiful to see them use it in a positive way now. And, and it must be healing to them.
Oh, it's so healing. And they are able to actually pray for them from a position of they've overcome.
Yes.
And so they're releasing from that place of faith, knowing that these ladies as well are going to overcome. And I've never seen, I mean, they just wept when they read their words, when they read their stories, their testimonies we had translated. And it was coming from a place of, they knew what they had been through, and they knew that these ladies were going to overcome as well. So I'm believing for more.
Well, I know I had the privilege of reading one of those, and I was just weeping as I read it.
Oh, yeah, me too.
This is so beautiful. And of course, the girls, you minister holistically to them. So sometimes they come with disease and health issues, sometimes with a lot of emotional brokenness and oppression. And it takes time, and your team is so patient and so loving that it's healing to them.
Yeah, we have such an incredible team. I'll never forget the very first girls that we brought in. I think there's a little bit of naivety even in thinking we're going to take these girls out of these deep, dark backgrounds and just stick them in front of sewing machines and they're going to be able to make these products. And it was like the first day, one of the girls thought she heard gunshots from the sound of the machine and is hiding under the desk. And we've got girls running at other girls with scissors. I mean, the trauma, what they had been through. They've been used to working in the evening. training. So even that, there was a time change. We had to give them naps during the day to actually be able to function. But God has just so moved. And these women had encounters from the very first day because we committed that project to the Lord. Because we actually, even from the first week, just really wanted them to know and experience the love of God. And they were having encounters with Jesus, with angels. All of our girls have actually had just intimate connections with Jesus and have seen him. And we've just watched the miraculous working power of God to just heal and transform them every day.
And God will do for them what we can't do, right?
So
he is bigger than our efforts. And so it's so beautiful that when we give God what we have, he does the rest. Now, we've just got a couple minutes left in this segment. So let's give four things that people can do. Because, I mean, you hear stories like this and you might feel like, oh my gosh, this is overwhelming, but what can I do to help? There are very practical things that you can do to be part of this whole team God is raising up to annihilate human trafficking. So what are some things that our viewers can do?
Oh, there's so much that you can do, but you can pray. Number one, you can pray.
Absolutely,
please.
And prayer works.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, we put out prayer requests when girls were missing and that, and God would find them.
It was like right away he responded. So please continue to keep these nations, keep these stories, testimonies in prayer. Believe for your nation. You can go. There are so many organizations that have mission trips, that have opportunities for you to actually connect on ground, to be a part of what's happening. And we love connecting teams, especially preventatively in what's happening and working in the slums, working in the street communities, where you can learn hands-on and be mobilized to help women and children at risk.
And you can go to extremelove.com and sign up for one of the outreaches that's available.
You can also finance some of what's going on. We cannot do any of this
without
financial support.
No, we need lots of finance to do it, too, because
it
keeps growing and growing.
It keeps growing. And, I mean, sky's the limit in what we can do. But we do need those to come alongside and partner with finance. Maybe you can't go. Maybe you can't actually take a mission trip. But you can finance what's happening in and around the world. And you can be a voice. So this is something that I'm very passionate about and that I really believe that God is stirring the body for, is calling each one of us to be a voice in our network and our area of influence and actually calling us out to be one that would trumpet, that would sound the alarm for those that are at risk in this hour.
Right on, right on. And you can find out more about how to be a voice, how you can just get involved with your voice doing the work that is needed for God by going on extremelove.com. The Lord is raising up a great army in this hour to go and set the oppressed free. And I want to decree this word over you out of Isaiah 61. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon you, because the Lord has anointed you to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent you to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners." That is what you are called to. That is what you are empowered for. The Lord has indeed anointed you. And don't be surprised in these coming days if you don't feel the fresh invitation into your heart that says, I got to go. I got to do something. It'll just bubble up in your heart like desire. And when that comes, give God your yes and take one step forward. And you will find as you take that one step forward that it will be oiled by the Spirit of God to bring forth great kingdom advancement in this hour. God bless you. And remember this, that he loves you with an everlasting love. And he's going to fill you afresh with that love so that you can go out and love the world around you. The world is waiting for you because it's waiting for him. God bless you. We'll see you next time.
This has been a production of the Awakening Podcast Network. Jennifer LeClaire is the founder and owner of APN. Our heart is to inspire people and exalt Jesus with every broadcast. We're grateful for our advertisers and supporters that make these podcasts possible.